black showing for federal workers going without pay as the partial government shutdown continues. But are there any cracks in Trump or the Democrats' resolve? Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us every week on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter under US of Ed. We are 26 days into the Trump shutdown, the longest shutdown in US government history. And Ed, we don't seem to be any closer to a solution than we were on day one. How much longer and how will it end?
Well, clearly this would be very speculative on my part, but I think the Republicans are gradually moving to the conclusion they have to offer something to the Democrats and not just a wall. And the most important thing to the Democrats are the Dreamers, the people who came into the country, were born outside the United States and came with their parents who are not legal aliens, or they failed to file the papers. It's amazing how many parents who are born in another country don't file the papers, even though they're citizens of the United States, for their children. And in adoptions, that's a case as well. So these are young people, most of whom are doing well. And most Americans want them to have citizenship. So if they offer that to the Democrats, then we got a win-win, with some provisos like he doesn't get the whole wall at once, etc. And it's not called the wall anymore. It's called security devices and the like. I think it has to end in the next 4 or 5 days. And the reason for that is the House members, the new House members, won't get paid. And that's a lot of pressure on Nancy, because these people have outrageous bills, moving to Washington, etc. So let's see how this plays out. But neither side has offered up much of anything.
Speaking of people with bills to pay, the Coast Guard, I believe, has become the first military branch to start going without pay. As you predicted last week, there's bottlenecks on airports, and this is hitting the economy harder than previously thought.
Yes, but Trump still doesn't care. Because from his point of view, his voters are going to stick with him almost no matter what. And if he loses them with the things we're going to talk about later, especially Russia, then he has no support for when the big bomb is dropped. So he needs those people very badly, probably a little more badly than the rest of the Senate or Pelosi needs anything.
Lost in all this shutdown talk was news last week of the first solid proof of collusion between the Trump campaign in 2016 and Russia. It was revealed Paul Manafort shared polling data with a man connected to Russian intelligence. Is Trump willing to let this shutdown go on to distract from scandals and these things he can't control? Mueller is coming after all.
Yes, he is. He has nothing to lose. He's at the point where this job is not one he wants to keep. And the question is, what is the end game? For the Democrats, the end game is for him to leave in disgrace. It's not impeachment, but his leaving in disgrace. Mueller will pound on these things. We talked about the fact that Manafort was the key to this. And if Manafort was working with the Russians, it means the campaign was. But it doesn't mean Trump was. He could have given a wink and a nod. And I think he was so naive and dumb he might have just done that. Because he actually said during the campaign, Russians, if you have this information, please pass it on. Somebody told him the Russians had the information. Someone inside the campaign. And he was getting it from them. And stupidly, he announced the fact, the man has no capacity to keep his mouth shut.
Trump has been forced to deny directly he's working as an asset for Putin, and news has come out that he actually seized the interpreter's notes from one of the meetings he's had with Putin, something that could be illegal, although I've heard it described as a small crime compared to what Trump is already accused of. What do you make of this asset talk?
Well, I don't think he intended to be a pawn or an asset. But what he intended was to use the presidency to advance his cause, which is the tower, which were investment opportunities, which were to release the Russians, the Magnitsky Act, so they could invest more money in the Trump properties. These are things he wanted to do. This is a small-minded, petty individual who thought he could use the presidency for his grandiose schemes. Remember, he never wanted to be president, but he certainly wanted those things. And if he wasn't going to get those things out of the presidency, it wouldn't be worthwhile. Now it's coming around to haunt him.
Well, you and I both know quite well when some of these intelligence agencies, and certainly Putin knows as a former KGB agent, you will leverage assets in any which way you can. And certainly those kinds of levers are ones that a KGB agent like Putin would know to pull. It sounds, you know, a Russian agent in the White House sounds like the stuff of an airport paperback novel. But is it something that needs to be asked and answered seriously?
Yeah, well, John le Carré has already written this story, hasn't he? let's say Trump was an unwitting agent. Agent in the sense that he wanted to do things for Russia because it would be something for himself. Not an agent in the sense he was going to give U.S. secrets over to the Russians so they could bomb the United States. So he's in a very ticklish situation where his activities are treasonous, but they don't reach the scale of actually turning the United States over to somebody else. And he was hemmed in and kept from doing that by the very agencies we just talked about. So he's in bad shape. The question is this animal mortally wounded, or is he just wounded in a way that he can spin back and cause more havoc? And I think it's the latter.
Well, related to all this, the new House Oversight Chairman, Elijah Cummings, is claiming the White House is ignoring document requests and is willing to start throwing subpoenas around, including quite possibly for that translator in that private meeting we just mentioned. It reminds me of another former president whose name's come up a few times in this this sort of atmosphere. Exactly.
You remember how those recordings of Richard Nixon disappeared? There was a 20-minute gap. I think there'll be a paper gap.
Mm.
That material will never appear in any timely fashion. Again, going back to what I said, what does he have to lose? They could ignore a subpoena, play this out in the courts all the way to the Supreme Court, destroy the evidence. What have they got to lose? Not much.
It's also worth noting Democrats in the Senate this week have failed to keep Trump from lifting sanctions on, one of the Russian oligarchs this week.
Well, I'm not sure about that. Why the Senate would go in this direction, even in a half-hearted way, I'm not sure. But these sanctions have to be lifted, I believe, by both houses. I'm not sure. But even if they're lifted only by one house, this gives more ammunition to all the people who are saying he's a puppet of Moscow and the Russians, and that oligarch is the one who is paying off Manafort and others. So it doesn't look good. And why the Senate would do this, even after Lindsey Graham said, we will not do any business with the Russians, it's hard to believe.
Syria, I was going to bring this one up with you anyway, but now we've actually seen this bomb blast, which has killed, I believe, 4 Americans in Syria. ISIS taking responsibility for that blast. My main question, Ed, does anybody know where we really are in terms of the Syria withdrawal?
There's not going to be a Syria withdrawal. I think there may be some additional manpower added to Syria, but no withdrawal. ISIS is alive and well, and they've just proven it, if we needed proof at all. So I think this is going to be played out again through the entire presidency. And the Russians want to get out of there, too. The Russian generals don't want to stay in Syria. So they'd like to see the United States get out so they can get out, but they want that warm water port. So this is going to play out in some way where both the United States and the Russians at least freeze the number, the total number of forces they have, and work on a game plan where they stay out of one another's way. Because a direct confrontation between the two, nobody wants.
And Republican Steve King this week condemned over remarks he made on white supremacy. He said, white nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization, how did that language become offensive? He asked that in the New York Times. It's not new for King. He's done and he's said plenty of racist things in the past. In fact, this comment here, it barely registers against some of his history. So why now?
Well, the reason, there are two why nows. One of them is he said it. And you have to put this in context of what he said before. And because of what he said before, it put members of the House in the position that they had to sanction at least what he said. They did not go so far as to sanction him. Again, they'd rather have his constituents drum him out of office than the Democrats drum him out of office. The Republicans and Democrats all came down. There's only one vote, what might say, in favor of him. He didn't even vote for himself on this measure because the gentleman said it didn't go far enough and it did not implicate him directly. But I think King has a target on his back that is so big that the smart thing for him to do is figure out whether he has employment in some other location pretty quickly. I don't think he'll resign. He just won't run again.
And across the other side of the pond, but I thought, well, we'd just touch on this one. Brexit. Theresa May getting absolutely thumped in a record-breaking vote against her Brexit strategy this week. Any thoughts?
Well, she did get thumped, but she was re-elected. If it were, the vote of confidence failed. The reason the vote of confidence failed is there's nobody else. And the Europeans have some degree of comfort with her. I wouldn't say confidence, but comfort. The Brits don't know what they want to do. They're split in every way you can imagine. They're like a piece of broken glass. How you're going to come up with a consensus on that, this is hard to see. And let's just take a few things. For example, border crossing. Right now, you cross that border as long as you're a European citizen and work in Great Britain, and Brits can go and work elsewhere. Now you say, gee, all these terrible people are coming to Great Britain. Give me a break. Poles, French, and so then the English economy has been very much enriched by the people who've come in. The second thing here is the British receive a substantial number of people from Europe for education. The British do not have enough students to fill their educational institutions. If this happens, those educational institutions are going to collapse. And the third thing is, where do you trade? The second, maybe third, second or third, with Tokyo or London. London will not be second or third. When I went through Frankfurt on my way back from Venice, I could see a lot of buildings going up, and I don't think they were sausage factories. And right at the airport, as a matter of fact, there's a very big building of one of the major trading houses right at the airport in Frankfurt. So it says to me that if this goes down, so the British exit in such a way that they don't have a trade deal, an education deal, and an immigration deal, which, by the way, I think is the deal. Mm. Is there something else in this deal that I know about? They're toast. Their economy will be absolutely toast. But Trump has helped. He's helped in this way, that nobody can trust the United States. So the Europeans have come together stronger than if Trump had been nice. The United States had said, we'll help make this deal come together. The United States staying out of this strengthens Europe. Great Britain will not have some big new trading with the United States, because what does Great Britain have to offer the United States when the United States doesn't get from Great Britain? The Japanese play a big card here. Most of the car companies in Great Britain, Lotus, etc., are owned by the Japanese. They're not going to like this because they use this as a platform to send their vehicles into Europe. You don't see a lot of Toyotas running around in Europe. But if the English umbilical cord is lost, you'll see none. That will hurt the Japanese economy. So there are a lot of cards to play here. What's going to happen to Theresa May? Theresa May is the sacrifice. If she gets something across the line, there'll be a new vote of no confidence, and she'll lose it, because she's putting her body on the line, let's face it. And this has big implications for everybody. It has big implications for the United States. Huge. And Trump, while he's done a good thing with Europe, he's been a very dangerous things between Great Britain and the United States. So, again here, I'm trying to find words that say that things might work out well, and I can't find them.
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SCR 107.3 in Sydney. Help support the work we do by going to 2scr.com/support. Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.